I have the privilege of being able to read three readings this morning that were chosen by Reverend Roger, all related to persons who don't identify with the gender binary of male or female. This reading is a poem entitled If I Could Fly, published in a magazine entitled Beyond the Binary. It was written in 2017 by Mar Pan, a poet, artist, an acrobat from Catalonia who lives in London. If I could fly, I would go towards the second star to the right and straight on till morning. If I could fly, I would join the fairies and all the creatures that everyone denies. If I could fly, I would stay a boy, B-O-I, forever, never grow a man or a woman. If I could fly, I would take all the lost queers with me to a land where judgment is unknown. If I could fly, if only I could fly, don't you have any pixie dust left? The second is a poem by Alex Johnson, a gender non-binary from Rhinelander, Wisconsin. They are 13 years old. Not like you. You ask me why I wear concealing clothes. The truth is, I am trying to cover up the paint that you have forced upon me. People have sewn in labels and stereotypes into my skin. It's a constant struggle as I try to rip out the stitching. The second it is gone, more is put in its place. People think it's okay to dead name me and misgender me. I'll tell you, it's fine. I know it's hard to get used to it. Don't worry, but it's not fine, not at all. I am not some practice dummy you can use to practice what respect is and isn't. I am a human just like you, but I am not like you at all. You people who use being trans and non-binary as a joke, you people who treat trans people as if we are mentally ill, you people who think it's okay to disrespect what and who we are, you people who debate if we should be allowed to exist, I am told to just accept who I am. These people who don't get that I do, they are the ones who don't. I am here, I am real, and I am not you. The last one is a poem entitled Queer Pride, written this year for Pride Month by Caden A. Ward, a 20-year-old poet who identifies as agender. Growing up in a culture where you're not supposed to exist, you become accustomed to the generosity of people trying to fix you, to force you into a shape they can understand. I did not know how exhausting it was trying to remain elastic in a world that demands us to be static, trapping us in binary boxes where we wilt in our confinement because against societal expectations, we refuse to suffocate ourselves for your comfort. Together, we will stand in the light, heads held high with unmatched pride, for we have fought too long and too hard for our right to be here. To live silently with our heads bowed low any longer.
Don't run for the doors, But today I am going to talk about the power of pronouns. And I hope you will try to stay awake, as this is a religious matter, which I will explain in a bit. What are pronouns? Pronouns are very common and short words in the English language. Some examples include he, she, it, they, some, and who. A pronoun is a word that takes the place of a noun. Pronouns usually refer to a name or to another noun that came earlier in a sentence or in a conversation. Earlier this morning, we used thou, an old and out-of-use English pronoun. We used it in our opening hymn, and then we used it when we sang, "The lone wild bird in lofty flight is still with thee, nor leaves thy sight. And I am thine, I rest in thee. Great Spirit, come and rest in me." Starting nearly 400 years ago in the history of the language, the words thou and thee were gradually replaced by you. You had already existed as a pronoun, but it had always been plural. You had only meant more than one, like both of you, you all, you soldiers lining up for battle. It was thou which meant one person. Thou, my friend, thou, my child, thou, my neighbor. Centuries ago, the only time it was usual or standard to call one person a you was to show that that person was of a higher social standing. You, as a singular pronoun, was reserved for a person of higher status. You could be used between two people if they were both elites. However, if you were an ordinary, common English person, you would use thou to speak only to family members, intimate friends, or children. You would say you to anyone superior to you, but that person could address you as thou to reflect that you were inferior in the class structure. There was a religious group that would have none of this, the Quakers. Known as the Society of Friends, the Quakers began in England in the 1600s. Founded on the principle of total equality among human beings, Quakers would call every individual by the pronouns thou and thee. They didn't follow the rule to call a better person you, because in the sight of God, nobody is better than anybody else. I can imagine a Quaker saying, "Thou may be a king, but thou art deserving of no name superior to the one I use for my next door neighbor, or a prisoner in the dungeon of thy castle. Thou art my sibling, dear king." The British class system lasted well into the 20th century, so you can imagine that in the 17th century, the Quakers' radical ways of treating other people and speaking to everybody as thou got them into trouble. Resistance to the social hierarchy was one of the many traits that caused them to be persecuted. Many Quakers sailed over to North America, and many ended up in the Quaker William Penn's colony of Pennsylvania. In any case, after 1800, it became standard in English that you referred to one, singular, as well as to more than one, plural. That is, you means one you and more than one you. That can be confusing. Thou and thee didn't vanish altogether, but they fell out of normal use. The use of thou continued in poetry and prayers and religious ceremonies. The word thou still conveys intimacy, like that between a person and their God, or between two people who are friends, or between lover and beloved. Thou expresses care and concern. As I said, pronouns are small words, but they are powerful. Now I want to talk about a word that's a bit longer and a bit less common or familiar. And this word is binary, as in binary choice. A binary implies a choice between two things, It means a limit of two options, either this or that. No alternatives, nothing in between, no other options exist. Consider the binary that I see in religion. I have known many folks who felt that their individual religious beliefs and practices left them with only a binary choice. One, you either belong to a spiritual community where your beliefs don't fit and you have to keep your religious identity undercover. Or two, you deny yourself participation in a spiritual community altogether, even though you might long to be enriched by the blessings of a spiritual community. Many folks who have come into Unitarian Universalist congregations tell me they find it a pleasant surprise that they did not have to keep silent about something so important as their religious beliefs to participate in a place like this. When I meet somebody in a social situation, they often ask, "What do you do?" Generally, I tell the truth. "I'm a minister," I say. "Oh, that's nice," they say, quickly adding, "but I don't go to church. I'm an atheist." "Oh, sure," I reply. "I have plenty of atheists in my church." I allow some time to let that sink in. Indeed, the diversity about our beliefs in our Unitarian Universalist movement is hard for many people to wrap their minds around, even some UU people. We have pagans, agnostics, atheists, Christians, Buddhists, Jews, and Muslims, among others. Last year here at UUSS, we had one guest minister who is a UU Hindu and another who is a Sikh UU. Nearly every UU congregation exists as a denial and a rejection of a binary understanding of religious community. It's not this or that. It can be this and that. Since it is based on values and not on a creed, a liberal congregation is a living, breathing, hymn-singing example that there are things in between the limited choice of this or that when it comes to religious community. In these times, we are learning that not everybody fits in the box, which is the binary choice of man or woman, of boy or girl, of him or her. There is more variety in our gender identities and our gender expressions than can be contained by two genders. Hence, many folks are asking to be referred to by different pronouns. In particular, many non-binary folks request to be referred to not as he or she, him or her, but by the pronoun they or them. This is a request for respect. What else could show more basic respect than to acknowledge how others identify themselves and how they express that identity? It's like calling them by the name they give us. It's respect. This request may feel good to some, but awkward to others. It may feel new, but it's not so new. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the singular usage of they has appeared in English writing since the 1400s. There are plays, novels, and poems going back that far with the use of they to refer to a singular thing or person. Furthermore, if a singular they was used in writing that early, then it probably was used even earlier in spoken conversations. For over 40 years, the National Council of Teachers of English has advised educators on the non-sexist use of language, both in how teachers treat students, how they speak to students, and in how they give guidelines for writing. It recommends a singular they. On its website, you can read examples of how to use it. Here's one. For a theater teacher to say, "Every cast member should know his lines by Friday," is not inclusive. But to say every cast member should know his or her lines is also not inclusive because it reflects the gender binary. The gender-inclusive way to say the same thing is this: Every cast member should know their lines by Friday. Current guidelines for writers from the Associated Press Style Book and the Washington Post Style Guide, among others, recommend use of the word they to refer to a singular noun unless the gender is known. However, if a person is requesting a particular pronoun to describe them, then writers are encouraged to honor that request. The National Council of Teachers of English says that in a school, teachers who practice this are making sure that students of all genders, all gender identities, feel visible, heard, valued, and protected. The purpose of this practice in any community is to promote respect and belonging. Many hospital admission forms now ask a patient what pronoun they wish to be known by. Many colleges now invite students to indicate what pronouns work for them. We have non-binary folks in this congregation, and members of this congregation have non-binary loved ones in their families. Depending on preference, they may use the word brother or sister or sibling, daughter, son, or child. When our middle school youth go from here on a weekend retreat with youth from other UU congregations, they have a practice of starting out by going around the circle and introducing themselves by name and by preferred pronoun. This promotes inclusion in the group, and it can raise awareness for everyone when they get back to their home congregations and schools. In a recent opinion column in the New York Times, Farhad Manju writes that everybody ought to use the singular they. It's the perfect pronoun, Manju says. It's flexible, inclusive, unobtrusive, and it avoids the risk of inadvertent misgendering of people. Even though Manju identifies as a stereotypical cisgender, middle-aged suburban dad, the writer asks to be referred to not as he, but as they. Manju says they will try to refer to everyone else that way as well. However, some non-binary folks prefer pronouns other than they, or in addition to they. For example, a person might choose the pronouns Z and Zer. Using an example from guidelines for faculty members at Vanderbilt University, a teacher might say, Z is a leader on campus. Zer contributions were instrumental to the lab's success. There are other pronoun sets that don't fall in the gender binary. There's quite a history of exploring alternatives, especially in literature. In 1976, Marge Piercy wrote Women on the Edge of Time, a book of science fiction. Piercy coined a non-binary pronoun of per, P-E-R, to refer to all persons in the novel. Many artists and scholars have created alternative pronoun sets as early as the 1890s and throughout the 20th century. The fact that the preference for alternatives is now more widely known does not mean it's new. There have always been human beings who felt that a gender binary did not represent who they were at heart. As Caden A. Ward, age 20, writes in their poem, Queer Pride, growing up in a culture where you are not supposed to exist, you become accustomed to the generosity of people trying to fix you, to force you into a shape they can understand. I did not know how exhausting it was, trying to remain elastic in a world that demands us to be static, trapping us in binary boxes where we wilt in our confinement. If, like me, you have had the privilege of living easily in one or the other category of society's gender binary, you may not be sure how you can be of support, but you may wish to be. Here are a few suggestions that I have gleaned. For example, the National Center for Transgender Equality has said that some people haven't heard a lot about non-binary genders or have trouble understanding them. That's okay. However, it says you don't have to understand what it means for someone to be non-binary to respect them. You don't have to understand everything about people to affirm their dignity and protect their safety. When Reverend Lucy and I attend a gathering of the UU Ministers Association, we are expected to use on our name tags our pronoun choice: he, him, she, her, ze, zer, they, them, and so on. There's mine. We invite you to do that with your name tags here at UUSS. You can write your preferred pronouns in a corner of your church name tag. Easy. A small step, yet a powerful one. Doing so can let somebody know that you seek to be an inclusive person toward folks who don't identify with the gender binary. Another way to provide support: you can remind others that we cannot assume another person's gender expression by looking at them or hearing their name. Making such assumptions can lead to awkwardness or hurt. So it's okay to ask. It's okay to ask what pronoun somebody prefers. For example, when I greet someone, "Hello, my name is Roger, and my pronouns are he, him, and his. How about you?" It's a sign of respect to ask what someone prefers. However, unless we are invited to ask more questions, it's not a good idea to grill a non-binary person or a trans person about matters that are personal. These days, there are plenty of ways for us to learn and be informed about the issues. I've been reading a book published by our denomination's own Beacon Press, written by a psychiatrist and a social worker, both of whom are from the trans and non-binary community. The book is entitled "You're in the Wrong Bathroom" and 20 Other Myths and Misconceptions About Transgender and Gender Nonconforming People. Even with good intentions, using more inclusive pronouns does take practice, and there will be mistakes. If someone points that out to you, that you have made a mistake, it's okay to say, "Thank you for letting me know." If you misgender someone by mistake, it's okay to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, yes," and then move on in your conversation. Try to remember for next time, but move on. To make a big deal out of it because you're embarrassed is only a burden to the other person, when chances are they'd like to move on too. To intentionally refer to somebody by a pronoun they've asked not to be used for them is willful misgendering. It's hurtful. If you see it happen, consider taking the offending party aside. If that's not a safe option for you, you could let the hurt person know that you are sorry it happened and let you know that you see them for who they are. There are plenty of ways for us to provide support. We can bring up conversations with people who don't know why this is important. I hope you will take home the insert that's in your order of service. It's entitled, "What Should I Call You?" It's on the back of the insert we use for the dedication. And it's provided to professors by the LGBTQI Life Center at the University of Wisconsin. I'm sorry, Vanderbilt. That Wisconsin has one too. And many colleges do. You can find them online. No need to read this insert now, but I hope you will take it home and share it with people. Talk to people about this topic. Say, "You will never guess what the sermon was last Sunday at my congregation." If you do all this explaining to another person, even give them a copy of the handout, your friend might be curious to come to UUSS with you. I had coffee on Friday afternoon with a friend who is a straight male Mormon Sunday school teacher. He is active in an LGBT organization that I am in because two of his grown children are gay. As we were parting, and I was going back home to work more on the sermon, he said, "What's your sermon about?" I told him, "Pronouns and the gender binary." "Oh," he said. Then he asked, "Do you have a mailing list you could put me on?" Of course, other people might not be so curious, so open, so safe. They might say, "Why are you talking about that in church? Is that religious?" Well, yes, it is, you can say, in our way of being religious. Unitarian Universalism stays open to new ways of understanding. The understanding of truth is not fixed once and for all, especially the understanding of the truth of the human condition and the human being. It is an open search. It is an evolutionary process. That is part of what we are. But first, we are a religious movement that affirms the dignity and worth of every person. It's not really possible to affirm dignity without showing respect. And it's not possible to build relationships or build a community if we can't be respected as who we are. As I mentioned, in the history of the English language, thou was a term of intimacy between two people. Even after the word you took its place in standard conversations, thou has continued to express affection and equality. Thou communicates concern and care and love. This is why pronouns are powerful. This is why the words we speak make a difference. How we hear one another and how we speak to one another, it is about concern and care and love. So may it be. Amen.